All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, both you and I are too old for TikTok.
Oh, Jesus Christ, am I too old for TikTok?
But
AI voice explains how to do things.
AI voice explains recovering from trauma as somebody cuts up a bar of soap.
Yeah. I'm certainly too old for that shit.
But I'm not too old for the old person equivalent, the Facebook reels.
Oh, sure. I thought you were going to say Vine.
I miss Vine so goddamn much.
Vine was good.
Vine was good.
It's all on YouTube. People have compiled all the good Vines worth watching.
Yeah.
Facebook Reels also have the UI or the AI problem.
Well, because it just reposted TikToks.
Yeah, it's just TikTok. It's TikTok it's like that Ridiculousness show on MTV that's like internet, but on TV.
What?
It's a show on MTV.
Okay.
The Catching Hotels. Or like, you know, similar to Tosh.0. Internet, but on TV.
Mm. Yeah. But I figured I would just put in a blank algorithm because mine is now almost entirely kittens and overly intricate woodworking joinery. Mm. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh gosh, how are those two pieces of wood going to fit together? Oh, he's using a
kitten's going to fit together.
Yeah. Like a little yin yang. It's very cute. So anyway, I figured we just see what's hot right now. This is random, so I'm just going to just let her rip. Scroll up. So it's a people are still making slime, huh?
Oh
yeah, kids are. I thought that was like a few years ago. Oh wait, there's some beef. Wait a minute,
beef slime, pink slime.
Well, no. Just that's different. This is two slime creators just really ripping into each other's work.
Oh, that kind of beef.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah, it's like we got some kind of blob war going on.
Oh, all right.
Wait, game computer.
Yeah, these two slime people have created a game computer hit.
Yeah, and blob it's, war, metal blob solid.
Yeah, huh. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
Welcome to Abduct Suffering, where the dicks are conical, the pain is canonical, also bionicles.
Dicks are conical.
Yeah.
Huh. That sounds uncomfortable.
For whom?
don't knock until you tried it, I guess.
Yeah. That might not be so bad.
Yeah. This week we're talking about Blob Wars Metal Blob Solid. Got nothing to do with solid
episode
snake.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. This was demanded by our patron, David, who says it was a pretty fun game to play on a Linux machine that could then play precious little else. If this is what you had, I mean, it's hard to decide at what year having this is like, hey, this is the Linux game. Like at what point that stops being sad? Because if this is like 1993, it's still a little sad, but I can understand. But it's making reference to Metal Gear Solid, so this came out at least in 1998.
Yeah, it had the thing where if I had this as a kid on a PC, like I would have played the shit out of it.
Yeah. It's not a bad game. Like
not by any means.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine. It's as of now, it's very, very game maker.
It's
amateur.
It's game maker baby town frolics. And there's multiplayer, and that probably was really tough to put together, you know?
I respect it. Yeah. I couldn't do this. You had to compile this to play it. Like you can get a downloader for it, but also they want you to compile it.
No.
I can't. There's a whole section in the making of page called Packing It In, which is about what kind of like pack it was put into or packing it up.
Jesus
Unlike
Christ.
A lot of open source games, Metal Blob Solid's data comes as a custom made pack file and kind of explains the thinking behind that. You know, it reminds me a lot of that Tim and Eric jazz sketch where it's like banking on it. And then they just start saying like, this guy asked me how many times am I go to the bank? I say 2-3 times per week. Spending what, like $10 in gas? He introduced me to online banking. Let's do it. 1, 2. And banking on it comes up on the bottom of the screen. That's what this reminds me of. Packing it up. And just like, yeah, I guess I had a question about that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Because the second I see the code, like, okay, like this is obviously like it goes in a terminal, I just fall right back into I am trying to make something that is just irreparably broken work again. I need to copy and paste that into something. Copy and paste it now.
It's also 2023.
Yes.
So you're not that impressed by that because we don't have to compile our own games anymore.
No. I would venture to say in 1998, we didn't have to either.
No, I have very rarely compiled a game to play it. And then if I did, like, you would think you'd want, like, that's the kind of thing. It was like, oh, you do this for Dwarf Fortress or something, like something that's big and complicated. And this is just kind of a run and gun platformer.
Yeah.
With lots of blood. You know, the blobs go to war. When I read about it, it was talking about how, you know, it says metal blob solid. And I was like, oh, okay. Maybe there's like stealth or something I'm going to do. No. You have to kill a certain number of enemies in a zone, in an asset zone, like a Commander Keen asset zone.
Yeah.
And go back and forth and just shoot them and they explode in blood. And you get random weapons.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It feels like something that somebody, like, very homemade.
It's real big flash game energy.
Yeah.
Specifically with the hyperviolence and, you know, the story like, oh, here's this peaceful people and then war happens and then, you know, they're being carpet bombed.
Yeah.
It's really real big flash game kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, this is going to make a lot of people angry. And I grew up with computers in the late 90s, early 2000s. But I see something like, oh, we just distribute this. Like, oh, you want an executable or you want something you can click on that will make this gameplay? No, don't you understand? That's bad.
Yeah.
Like, just it feels it's kind of like. I don't know. It's kind of like how crypto made me feel, although I felt this much earlier, which is that isn't a practical thing. You're just making this hard for some weird ideological reason that I can't care about.
Yes. Like Unix reasons, yeah. Linux reasons, open source reasons. Like if that's something you care about philosophically, like I get it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make for like a game I'm necessarily interested in, and it makes it a little irritating to get into.
Yeah.
Even though I did find out from their website on parallelrealities.co.uk, you can get the source code for Lasagna Monsters.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Which I kind of like.
Better game was run, created Garfield.
As a sort of sequel to Water Closet. Lasagna Monster sequel to Water Closet.
Would you be surprised, Gary, if I told you that Water Closet looks very similar to Blob Wars, except you play as a toilet?
I kind of like that. Ooh, it's been ported to the Vita. This is like when you get a flash card and you can play homebrew, and you like search through the best homebrew games. It's always something like this. You're just like, okay, like I believe you. This probably is one of the best homebrew games, but boy, oh boy.
Yeah. And this is real basic. I got real annoyed because you can pick up different weapons, but they're just tiny little icons that you see. And every time it wasn't something cool and new, it was the grenade.
Really hard to use.
Yep.
I ended up with the grenade a whole lot as well. And easy to hurt yourself with it.
Yes.
I don't know if there's checkpointing in this, but I just got to the point where like I died. And had to start over and I got very upset.
There's actually there's weirdly, I mean, when I died, I pretty much went right back to where I started. Not where I started. To where I died. Maybe that's because the only times that I never lost health in combat, I just fell into the acid. So maybe that is like, okay, we'll respawn you at the last safe ground you were on.
Yeah. That would make sense.
Yeah.
When I died from blowing myself up or whatever, I just restarted the game. I'm like, I don't want to do this.
No.
There's also a version of, there's a sequel to this, Episode 2, which is a totally different genre.
Mm-hmm.
It's a third person shooter.
Yeah.
3D shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Where you fight a lot of the same enemies and everything, but in a different tech demo.
Okay, it's called Blob and Conquer. You think, oh, they're gonna do like a real time. Nope. It has as much to do with Command and Conquer as it does with Metal Gear Solid.
Yep. Just it's really admirable, this like little game company that just keeps making games.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. Like it's sweet. You know?
I wish them no particular harm. It's I don't know. Yeah. Would this be notable at all if it was not a like a Linux only thing?
Likely no.
Yeah.
You know, very much not. Not a whole lot I feel like I could say about it. I hit the I get it button pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
In this, while recognizing if I were a kid, I would have really loved this.
Yeah, yeah.
Would have played the shit out of it, like all the Moroff games and stuff.
Yeah, no. This would have been right at home on, you know, the 100 shareware trials, you know.
Yeah.
I played a lot of Jane of the Jungle.
Very big Jane of the Jungle vibes.
Yeah.
They have a game just straight up called Orb,
mm-hmm.
which I like. It has this very it's a gold box style game, which is wild because like nobody like copies gold box games. But overview, while exploring an unknown island in search of adventures, a group of friends encounter a danger like never before. That is so painfully vague.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Like,
So that's very funny because they call this Orb. The characters are little pixel people, like humans. No orbs here. Do you know what's Orb scary? All of the characters in Blob Wars.
That is true. They got the and probably in Orb you probably eventually fight blobs.
Maybe so possibly.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I kind of want to respect somebody making a gold box like.
Yeah.
You know?
I wish them no particular harm. Yeah.
No. Good for them. Very difficult to talk about or to play for a very long time, I think.
There's nothing about this on the internet other than their homepage.
Yep. They're making of that you can get. It's really weird to me. You know, you're playing the secret agent. You have to infiltrate bases and rescue MIAs. That there is absolutely nothing stealth about this.
Yeah,
like there's nothing you do other than just shoot guys and make them blow up like worms.
Right. You know? You're a little Rambo more than you're a solid snake.
Ramball. Yeah. Ramblob, which also would have been a fine name for it, I guess.
Yeah, it would have been appropriate.
Like, I feel like, huh? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, man, sure. like the kind of game that makes you go, oh, I guess, okay.
Yeah, why not?
You know, with the like, oh, why not, as like a back of the box quote on this. Like,
sure.
I suppose.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just looking at these other titles that they have. The Legend of Edgar.
Edgar doesn't look that great.
That's more. Yeah, that's almost precisely a Jane of the Jungle thing. Like that kind of scale of weird.
Yeah.
Just these all feel like games from like 1992 to 1994.
Yeah.
And there's no dates on any of this. This is wildly out of time.
Yeah. Pretty bonker. Yeah. Pretty wildly out of time. So we're not going to talk about it anymore. I don't have anything else to say about it.
Neither do I.
There's nothing there. I can talk about my trip a little bit.
You can. So for people just tuning in, you went and got married, which was also you going to Las Vegas for the first time. Now, which of these is more important and more momentous? I'm not sure.
Yeah. And stay tuned till the end of the podcast and you'll probably find out. Wynn got married, in Vegas, which is a hell city. this is a garbage trash town. When we got off the plane, somebody who was also returning to Portland went like, that city is fucking disgusting. Just behind us.
Just that immediate of a reaction
is very like, funny.
Just knew there would be common cause. Like,
yeah. So there was a huge like bunch of whoops from the plane. You know? It's very funny. So the primary things about Vegas is it's drier than anything.
Okay.
It's so dry, you cannot become quenched. Like they must keep secret water that they drink that actually hydrates you, because I did not feel hydrated the entire time. I drank tons of water. And I was drinking the water. I told you this story, but it's funny. There was a Lyft driver. Everybody was real nice who we talked to. Mm-hmm. There's a Lyft driver, and they had moved to from California a couple of years before. And we're like, oh, how long did it take you to get used to the water? And she goes, oh, for brushing your teeth? And I was like, no, you know, for drinking. She's like, oh, don't do that. And that's like the last thing you want to hear, like day three into a 4-day vacation, you know, day two, like we had been drinking the water. Uh-huh. And then she's like, yeah, they take it all out of Lake Mead and they keep kind of finding corpses in there. And then I Googled it and they just keep finding bodies. It's receding and they just keep finding bodies, like bodies inside safes, bodies inside boxes. They can't identify the bodies, tons of bodies with bullet holes in their head, uh-huh. like all kind of mob kills. Uh-huh. I drank a bunch of mob broth.
Yeah, no, there's a
Bambino bouillon is what they call it.
It's good. It's a wise geyser. Yeah.
Yeah. Wise geysers real good. Bunch of wise geysers.
Yeah. No, I just I don't know when I learned that. It was some podcast I listened to, but it's like, yeah, just one of those weird things about global warming is that a lot of people stuff assume that things would be hidden. And Lake Mead is being one that is like really, you know, feeling it bad, but like they're also saying like in 3 years the Great Salt Lake is going to be gone, so
pretty wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't seem so great to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Scary shit. So like very thirsty the whole time. I tried to drink water, could not do it, you know, like very dehydrated. And so that's one thing about that place. The other thing is very flat. Everything looks very far apart. Talked about mm-hmm. that a little bit, but together it meant like all these 20,000 step days in like dehydration. So like our bodies felt it. Like we got pretty exhausted. Yeah. Worst of which when we decided to, so the first day we spent, we went to Omega Mart through Meow Wolf, which is like the coolest thing I've ever seen.
What is Omega Mart? You didn't tell me.
Oh, Omega Mart is a art installation, escape room experience, like immersive experience thing. That is a fake store that is full of secret passages that lead into zones.
Okay.
That you just explore, like you get a ticket for it and then you get to exist in the space and you can buy stuff. Like it's a store, everything that's actually there, almost everything is on sale.
Okay.
As like little souvenirs and they're like really good jokes.
Huh.
So like, the one, like my friend Levi went and he brought some back and it's a thing. It says gum. It's in a gum font. It's like teeth smoothener. Two of four dentists know. You know, it's things like that. Like it's full of good jokes.
Okay. Two of four, you know? Dentists. No.
Yeah. That's pretty like really good. Good jokes. There's a cereal box called Oh Those. And it's just like stapler, inkwell, you know, juice sauce packet, a little marshmallow shapes and stuff. It's, you know, that kind of thing. Zalg, America's forgotten vegetable, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. I dig it. Yeah.
You know, and then there's a story that's being told, a lot of stories, arguably too many storylines. going on that you are encouraged to get to the bottom of like they're, and it's a pretty cool, but stock stuff like, oh, they're actually kind of growing these products from a like energy source out in the desert that they're stealing. There's a company trying to like put them down. You're not a company, like a collective trying to take them out.
Right.
Their daughter of the CEO who had taken over, like their suspicion in mm-hmm. that. And you go through, like, it's real fun. Like you're in a store, you open up one of the freezer cases that has a bunch of products, you open up another one and it's a door and you can go back through there and go into the factory floor.
Okay.
And then from like the factory floor, you can go to the executive suite, you know, these different parts of the company with kind of sprinkled art installation things in between. So like, rooms with weird, like sound consoles you can play with, or rooms that have weird optical illusions in them. Very impressive. Like
this sounds badass. I would like to see this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's everyone should see it before they die. Ridiculous amount of money and production went into it. Mm-hmm. I was like looking at it and I was like, oh, this is, I always thought of Meow Wolf as this kind of like a smaller thing than it is. And okay. I was like, oh, like the soundtrack is done by Brian Eno and Beach House.
Oh,
to this. Huh. I was like, oh shit. Like,
yeah, well, they know what they're doing. Okay.
Big names, you know?
Yeah.
Just incredibly funny. Really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. Unbelievably awesome. Yeah. Real neat. I had the experience of going off into the, like I opened a door just walking. And then when we walked into a break room and everyone was shocked, like their jaws dropped. And it's because we had walked through a secret passage that opened up a locker.
Oh,
that we had gone through. Like they didn't know it opened up.
Oh,
so like
weird.
We had to go one way through like a secret door that they got to see was a secret door because of that.
God, this sounds really cool. Yeah.
It's way bigger than you'd ever expect.
Yeah.
It's huge. They're still building it. Like we didn't do the story. Like it's we got bits, you know, drips and drabs of the story, but doing the whole thing, like doing the game mm-hmm. and figuring out the plot would have taken hours and hours.
Yeah. Yeah. You had other stuff to see. You're only there for a few days.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we were checking out, I was like, hey, I ask you a meta question. Like, is there like a story, like a ultimate puzzle to this? You know, is this one of those things where there's a big meta puzzle, you go through and you solve the story and there's a place to get like the true ending, you know, like that kind of thing. And he's like, there will be, but it's not done yet.
Oh,
like
wow,
they're still expanding it.
I mean, it's good that you didn't spend a lot of time trying to figure it out if there wasn't going to be anything waiting for you.
Yes. We would have just gotten a, you know, some of the story, but not the big payoff, you know, and it, to me, it worked really well as an experience where you don't do that. You just walk into a series of highly surreal spaces.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, get jokes and get good, creepy kind of short stories and stuff.
It's like a, you know, like a walking sim in real life.
Yeah. Yes. Very similar. Really, really great. And it's part of something called Area 15, which is full of cool shit. Like this was by far the coolest thing, but then there are also all these like neat VR, thing setups, mm-hmm. you know, like, basically like escape rooms or, scavenger hunts, things like that, that are bespoke software that you would play on a VR helmet
mm-hmm.
in there, that people had created. That was very neat.
Yeah.
We didn't do those because we were exhausted.
Right.
You know, but it was awesome. Like huge. Yeah. There's a big art collective, like outside there's a big dead robot.
Okay.
Sculpture. That's just like very impressive. I took a picture of it, but like the scale of it, it's very impressive. Mm-hmm. A sculpture of a dead robot on the ground, like really, really cool looking.
Yeah.
And then, went to the, Tournament of Kings in Excalibur, the hotel we stayed at, for the theming.
Right. You know? You have to emphasize was here for the nerd shit.
We kept like, so people kept asking us where we're staying, and we're like Excalibur, and they're like, oh, like why, you know, because it's one of the older, it's not like one of the ultra modern,
right,
you know, hotels. And it's like, oh, just, you know, theming shit. Go through like this thing called the Fun Dungeon, which is a big ticket arcade.
Mm-hmm.
Which since we were like on our, you know, wedding and celebratory, we spent a lot of money and it was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I played two variations of Pac-Man that I want to tell you about. They're really cool that I hadn't heard of before.
Okay.
The less cool one is there is a ticket game version of Pac-Man where in between every level, so you play a regular game of Pac-Man, and then in between the middle section where the ghosts are becomes the like the pack sack or something, and you have to run away from the ghost and get into that to get a bunch of tickets.
Oh.
So it's like this weird measure of like every time you beat a level, you get the chance to win a bunch of tickets.
Okay. I'm taking a look at this. Does it have like a big LED screen at the top? Like an attract mode kind of thing. Yeah. Pac-Man Ticket Mania Ticket Arcade Game. Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty neat. What was mm-hmm. way cooler though was Pac-Man Air Hockey, which is fucking incredible. Like it's air hockey, but you have two sticks that you're controlling. And you're playing air hockey, and it's normal air hockey, and every once in a while, dozens and dozens of small pellets just flood the air hockey table, which are also worth points. So it's like regular air hockey, but then every once in a while, there's like multi-ball to the extreme through here. It's really fun.
Is the table itself a screen? Like how do the pellets show up and how many? Oh,
just,
so you're...
They physically dump from like a thing, like a deployer, a pellet deployer.
So it's air hockey, but it kind of turns into crossfire.
Yes. At intervals.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
It's incredibly cool.
I've never heard of such a creation.
Yeah. I loved it. It was like a really, really cool twist on air hockey, which I hadn't seen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we watched the King's Tournament, which was really cringy in a fun way. you know, Merlin and the Jester You know, they're singing songs. Like, they taught us a bunch of moves that we didn't use. Like, here's where you lift your flagon and say, huzzah! and then, like, it's very important that you learn this. And then it didn't come up.
I didn't come here to have a boss, Merlin.
The story is very funny. Like, it's kind of King Arthur. You know, like, they do a little tournament, and then Mordred comes down. And Mordred has fire shooting powers.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. Like, there are big pyrotechnics there. And he kills a bunch of the knights and kills Arthur until Arthur's son, Christopher, has to come out and fight all of Merlin's half-human, half-dragon hybrid men.
Okay.
Who he's brought up. And then he gets Excalibur and shouts out for Merlin, who ignores him. And then he wins, and then Merlin comes out and gives us the lesson.
Okay.
And there were comely maids, and there are horses real close to us.
Oh, I don't like that.
Really well-trained horses. Like, that horse could reach over and just eat my Cornish game hen.
And he didn't.
A good horse.
That's
so far as there can be such a thing.
That's basically like the equivalent of a horse graduating college.
Yes.
If there's food that they don't immediately try and eat.
Smart horses.
Yes.
These guys. But lots of stunts. It was like a stunt show.
Okay.
Real dorky.
I was picturing more of a medieval times kind of like gladiatorial combat kind of thing, not a like a Vegas stage show, which is absolutely what this was.
It's kind of both.
Okay.
Right? Like, it's a tournament. It's a musical. It's a stage show. You know, like, we sat, it was a medieval time style arena,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we were given a Cornish game hen. Like, it was medieval times, but
yeah. It
was also way more razzle dazzle, you know, lots of songs,
yeah.
you know, and stuff like that. And then the next day is the day we got married, and the marriage part was great, but this was the bad day because we went downtown. Like, we were like, oh, let's check out the rest of the city. Like, this has the strip, but it's also a city. You know?
Right.
So we went there, and like, we walked down to this area, just kind of checking it out, like, had some mediocre food, walked by the Pawn Stars pawn shop, which is tiny.
It's underwhelming. Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing there. But just ended up getting very tired from walking until we eventually got to Fremont, which is the old strip.
Ooh.
And I didn't know what Fremont was. Like, if you look up pictures online, you look up the Fremont experience, it looks artful and kind of like cool.
You're
like,
okay.
Hey, there's like shopping and like music and stuff. And it looks like a big street festival. It's like the drunken, most drunken, nakedest, vapingest, saddest like place on earth.
Huh.
Like, it's a fucking panic attack. Like, so much, like, almost literally, like, we both almost, like, we felt bad. Like, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, it's full of nudity. Everyone's screaming. Everyone's drunk. Like,
what?
We're there at 3 p.m. Everyone's drunk as hell. People who are about to vomit are being walked. There's lots of like weird street performers, like this woman who was wearing a really scary old man mask, but no shirt.
Oh God.
And just like, you know, huge titties like flopping out. It's just like tips appreciated. And then the worst part about it with all these DJs who are around playing at slightly different BPMs.
that's how they torture people.
It was really, really difficult to walk to the end thinking like, oh, well, you know, we'll get to the end of this and we'll check it out. We have time to kill. Really rough shit.
I feel so bad that I'm just letting you talk, but like, what's the dynamic that leads to, is it just, It's not as expensive as the rest of the strip. Like,
it's not as expensive, and it's like more of a drunken party. Like, the casino, like, there were a lot of cops there, you know,
okay.
But it wasn't like the casino, which is fairly controlled, you know, and it was outdoors.
Okay.
So like, it didn't stink as bad. It didn't smell like cigarettes.
Right.
Which, like, everybody there smokes like they're teenagers. Like, it's not 2023. But like, it just, it's like Bourbon Street, but gross, you know, like, it felt like that to me.
It's like, it was Bourbon awful. Street, but gross is a very,
like, we fucking hated it. Like, I was just kind of like, you know, at first, you know, just joking. I was like, we're going to die here, you know, just joking. And then eventually I was like, hey, I don't, you know, I want to be lame. Can we go back to the hotel for a couple hours before we go and get married? Like, I need to chill out. And we eventually just walked away from that street and we're fine.
I need to process like, what we've seen.
It took a long time to come down. Like we were feeling fucking awful. And then it sucks because we went to this cocktail bar that we wanted to go to that does fancy cocktails.
Okay.
And it was in the arts district, which was cool. Like, I wish we had just gone there.
Right.
We just didn't know. We didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So like we went there, it was very relaxing. It was really fun. And then when we got married, it was beautiful. Like, you know, obviously it was really great. The lady who ran it, at the little, like, you know, drive by chapel thing, not literally drive by, but was like, oh, I could tell you're really in love. And I was like, oh, you sound really surprised. She's like, yeah, it's, you know, like, and it's like, oh, a lot of people not really feeling it. And she like, just put her finger on her nose, like bullseye. What? Like, well, shit.
Well, that's,
you know, that's bleak.
I want to talk to that person outside of like, we need to get out of this. But like, when you're not at work, I need to hear stories.
I wanted to hear stories.
Yeah. Cause I want to hear about the people that you run into. Like,
yeah. You know, and that was great. We had a really nice dinner afterwards. You know, the one super good meal, you know, that we had while we were there. Mm-hmm. And then, next day we did strip walking, which there wasn't a whole lot to. Like, we got to see in one of them, I can't remember which one it is, they do an animatronic show called The Fall of Atlantis.
Okay.
That is about Poseidon choosing between his son or his daughter who should inherit Atlantis, the forces of fire or the forces of ice, in this gigantic, like, beautiful indoor arena thing. Really neat looking.
That's at Caesars.
Caesars, yeah. Which has a very like shopping concourse that's all very fancy shit.
Yeah.
Like if you want to buy like a, you know, antique suit of armor and put it on the plane, you can. and then Penn and Teller was that night, which was excellent. One of the best live shows I've seen. Like very warm, very funny, genuinely very impressive.
Yeah.
And then of most interest, I think, to you, Cole, on the day before we left, we had the afternoon, I went to the National Atomic Testing Museum.
Oh, shit.
That is a huge recommendation.
Okay.
That's great. Anybody should go to that. It's really neat.
Nice. So is it along like test sites? Like, is this like along a, like a base or something like that? Or
it's a science, an active science organization that also contains this museum.
Okay.
Where they do this, and it is about, you know, getting the bomb, doing this atomic testing. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I knew a little bit of that from just Fallout knowledge and stuff, but there's a lot of things I didn't know that were really cool and crazy.
I mean, like, it's pretty fucked up if you read about the downwinders, right?
Yeah. And then when they moved it to underground and then the times it would burst forth.
Yeah.
Like they have video footage of just like one of these like holes opening up in the earth and then just a mushroom cloud coming out of it.
Yeah. And just, the innumerable ways that that could have, I mean, with what we know about like building dams, possibly causing earthquakes, like that probably, I mean, putting it deeper, like, yeah, like, okay, we're not exposing it to the air, but also who knows?
Who knows what we're doing?
That's a hell of a butterfly flapping, actually.
Yeah. It's a big butterfly. Big butterfly. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool. It was fairly patriotic.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
which like I was expecting it to be a little bit more dour, you know, like
more somber.
Because they did, you know, they did kind of pay lip service, like, oh, this ushered in the atomic age and there were these casualties and stuff, but it was pretty, you know, optimistic.
Yeah.
About creating the bomb.
It's a nice little, I don't know if it's a permanent exhibit, but when I went to visit the UN, when I was in New York, they had a sobering, let's say, gigantic exhibit about Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, hey, we can't let this happen again. Like here's, you know, devastating photographic evidence as to why. Yeah.
Yes. And that's what I wanted.
Yes.
More than anything, I wanted to be made to feel real bad during it. And it was spending a little bit too much time trying to make me feel okay.
Yeah.
I thought,
hey, look what you're complicit in by being an American asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. you know, a little bit about like, you know, the impact on indigenous people who live there, stuff like that, but not as much as you might think. But really, really fascinating, incredible, just from a design standpoint, like, scientific instruments mm-hmm. of that era. There's this huge wall of Geiger counters.
Yeah.
I took a picture of, and it's like inspiration for days for like cool looking guns in settings. If you were going to try to, you know, make a new Fallout.
Yeah.
Like it's here's 100 really awesome designs.
That is, I love like just industrial design, man, especially yeah. from that's a little bit early to be mid-century, but yeah.
Yeah. Like for 30s and 40s and stuff. It's just incredible looking.
Yeah.
It was real neat. Like that was weirdly, like it was kind of an afterthought that we went, we uh-huh. said Time to Kill before the flight, but that was one of the big highlights of the trip.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to hear that was cool and not a, you know, rinky dink or whatever. Like that was, you know, at least neat to be around. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Very cool. Casinos themselves are fine. You know, it's fine.
Did you find any funny slots or what have you?
Just like a lot of racist ones, like a lot of like, you know, sombreros a poppin' and like Lucky Fortune Dragon.
Ooh.
You know, a lot of that stuff. Not a whole lot of funny things. I also couldn't find very many licensed ones.
Oh.
I really wanted to find some of the weird like Konami ones.
Yeah. Because
that seems fun. But I know they exist there, but I had no idea where they were.
Yeah. And you saw plenty of Konami machines, but not the actual licensed ones.
Yes. Like I assume that I saw Konami machines because that's a big part of their, you know, their brand, their company, but I didn't see anything fun looking. It was, other weird thing I learned. I didn't know the people who try to sell you timeshares, those things, dress up like employees of the casino and try to trick you into thinking like they work for the casino.
Oh,
like, wow. So we ended up talking to one for a little while, which was embarrassing, even just like, we didn't sign up for anything, obviously, but yeah, I mean, you and I, Cole, since I use the duck feed card, own several timeshares.
God damn it.
Yeah, I know. Do it again. We didn't sign up for anything, but it was just, it seems like a concierge, like a courtesy service.
How in the world do they let that happen?
I don't know. I don't know why they do it. It's maybe they have to, you know, there might be, cause there's all kinds of weird fucking laws in Vegas. So everybody can get a slice.
Well, and that's a pretty big industry. So yeah, I could totally see like, oh, our hands are tied, city council. They they're on the take, you know, we don't want to end up at the bottom of Lake Mead.
Yeah. We don't want to end up getting drank. Like, yeah. You've heard drink the Kool-Aid, be the Kool-Aid. You know?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would not want that to be the, no, that is that's insidious. I hate that.
Yeah. I felt like such a fucking sucker, even just getting like having him come over and like, you know, we realized what the pitch was, you know, at some point. And then it wasn't like, you know, I can't just say go fuck yourself and then walk away from something. Like I'm not capable.
It's still a person. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still a person, you know, so we had to politely disengage ourselves, and they got mm-hmm. increasingly less polite because it's high pressure sales.
Their lead was walking away. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I am not your lead. Not a lead for you.
That sucks. I wouldn't feel too bad. That's a professional fooling person who,
yeah,
you know, if you're gonna be fooled, at least be fooled by somebody who's making a living at it.
Well, yeah, and I'd never been, you know, I'd never seen it. So there are a lot of things I learned, like if we ever go back, which there's other stuff we would do, you mm-hmm. know, if we went back, I would do it a little differently.
Yeah.
Cause it is a rough city. In a lot of ways.
I mean, just as a city that like you have to engage in so much gamesmanship to figure out like, like just how to be there, how to interact. It's pretty intimidating.
Yeah. Very much so.
Like outside of Fremont where it was just a permanent, you know, permanent party. Like I will drink, but I am not a drinker really. And I will, you know, gamble. Like I'll take $40 out of the ATM and hope it lasts an hour. Like you found stuff to do that wasn't drinking and gambling.
Yes.
Right. Like just, it was not all geared toward that.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, it was there was plenty to do if you weren't doing that. But they also they got their PCU, you know. Like, I was kind of thinking that because we didn't drink or gamble, the whole thing would be cheap. But they nickel and dime the shit out of you.
Oh yeah.
They're like, everything's expensive. There are fees tacked onto everything. Like, getting there and staying there is the only cheap part.
Right.
You know, everything else is very expensive. And if we weren't in a celebratory, like, yeah, it's fine if I blow $1,000 on this. This is our honeymoon.
Right.
You know, it wouldn't have felt good. Mm-hmm. You know, it probably would have felt bad.
Yeah.
You know, so it was definitely fun when we were in the, like, anything goes section, like, fuck, you know, like, I'll do aroma. We did like oxygen, like an oxygen bar.
Okay.
Which I don't think did anything, but it came with a massage, which was nice. Like a aqua massage.
You I know about my an aqua massage. Is that where you lay in like the, it's like an iron lung, yes. But you're laying flat and like, there's a big rubber sheet that's put over you. And then it's water jets that kind of pummel you. Yeah. I've seen those set up in like malls and like bougie malls before.
Yeah. It's a bougie mall ball thing.
Same thing with oxygen bars, actually.
Yeah. Which did nothing, but I did an EMS stimulation as part of the oxygen bar.
Okay.
So they gave me like a little Newton that I could make, myself, make my muscles tense up with because of sticky pads. Like you could make yourself shrug.
Oh,
with this little electronic remote.
Okay. EMS. So like a big, installation TENS unit. Is that what that is?
But like a little one, like a little handheld. TENS unit. So yeah, but it was like a TENS thing, which I'd never done.
Huh.
And out of all that stuff, like the aqua massage, I recommend, like, if you don't want to be groped, you know, if you like, you don't like being touched in a massage sense.
You got my number, man.
Yeah, me too. I got my number. Like, we both don't like that. This is, feels really good.
Hmm.
And you don't have to get nude and you don't have to have somebody touching you. They just stick you in a thing and you vibe for a while.
I'm going to be jammed into a torpedo tube.
Put me in some kind of tube and then I'll feel better when I come out. Yeah.
Oh man. If only there were more tubes in day-to-day life.
Yeah. So yeah, but those are the highlights, and then other stuff will leak up.
Yeah.
Yeah. As I remember it, but
I just really love the locals knowing the secret of the water.
I said this to Will, but this, or to Jeremy, this is 100% true though. Like, breathing in Portland felt like drinking water there.
Yeah.
I have never been somewhere so dry.
And it's like
I bought chapstick. I hate having slimes and shit on my skin.
No, it's awful. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't do that. I will sometimes use lotion. Yeah. So much a white guy that I've never used lotion,
mm-hmm.
but I don't typically need it. You know, like my skin stays pretty hydrated.
Yeah.
I like my lips were like going to start bleeding.
And
like,
this
it's fucking nuts.
And this was in January, like polar opposite of when it would have been the hottest and the driest. They say, oh, it's a dry heat. It would get drier because the sun's out. So like, if there was an optimal time for you to do it, that might have been it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it was. I think it was the optimal time.
Yeah.
You know, it rained while we were there. You know, it still was dry.
Like it thirsty, thirsty ground. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Just sucks all the moisture out of you.
Huh?
Yeah. Pretty wild. So fun, fun trip. Interesting. I'm glad I did it. Obviously very happy about getting married.
Yeah.
You know, would love to do it over again with make some different choices in terms of, where we spent time, specifically that, Fremont.
No Fremont. Day.
Yeah. Yeah. That does not work.
Yeah.
It's no good.
Yeah. That's just because you see, like you said, oh, going downtown. Oh, you mean the place where like the people work? Like, we're going to see the financial buildings.
Yeah. Well, there is that too. But again, it's miles apart. Like you walk by huge swaths of nothing, get to these zones. It's also though, Fremont is Freeside in Fallout New Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's the little side path to the strip.
It's where the Kings hold. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I know that's where the tournament is, the arena where you fight monsters underground in New Vegas.
Yeah.
We didn't make it to, we tried to go to the Neon Graveyard to see all the old signs and stuff, but it was sold out.
Oh, that's too bad.
Didn't get a chance to.
No.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, that's going to be it. Educational episode. Stories.
You know? I was happy to hear them.
Well, yeah. And also, again, what we're going to talk about. You know, I don't know.
Bob Wars, nothing to it.
Yeah, nothing to it. Thanks everyone for listening. We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dave. David. Sorry to be too familiar for demanding this game. Had no idea it existed. Developer seems like they're doing cute work.
Yeah, they're. I wish them no specific harm. In fact, I wish them well.
Yes.
If you like this show, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Give us a few bucks. We'd appreciate it. And leave us ratings, reviews on Apple Podcasts or Podcast Addict, anywhere where podcasts are found.
Please do. Yeah, you already said the stuff. You left nothing for me, man.
I did.
You're just,
nothing for you.
Just leaving me high and dry.
Yep.
Yeah.
What should they do until next time?
Well, Gary, until next time, don't say all of the admin stuff while your co-host is trying to open the tweet thread where the endings are.
And I will counter that with have your tweet thread open. Man, we're on episode like 900 of this.
No.
All right. The